song. Praise God. He doesn't mean much to this world, but He means the world to me. Praise God. Amen. And by the way, He's never meant anything to this world. The world's never. Now, they do a lot of things in the name of Jesus, and His name is tagged to a lot of things. But when it comes down to the real God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible, they really want little or nothing to do with Him. You know, I mean, really. If you're in this thing to be in the in crowd, you better find you somewhere else to go. We're not going to be in the in crowd here. We'll never be popular. We'll never make the paper outside of, you know, being on the street corner and them talking about the nuts on the street corner or something, you know. But, I mean, as far as being accepted and, you know, being praised, you know, by politicians and leaders and society, it's just not going to happen, man. The world's always despised the God of the Bible. That's what Brother Thomas, me and Brother Thomas have talked about many times when we're out on the street corner, you know, doing public ministry, holding signs, passing out tracts, all that stuff. He said, you know, and of course, those of you that have been out there, you get a primarily positive response. People are waving and smiling. They like to see somebody out, you know, standing for Jesus, you know, for the most part, you know. Every now and then you'll get a negative response. You get that person who drives by and they look in the other way, you know, pretending they don't see you, you know. I always say, you know, you can pretend you don't, you can pretend like you, or say, what do I always say? I say, you can look the other way, but you can't unsee it. That's what I always say. You look the other way, but you can't unsee it. When you stand before God, you've seen it, you know, it's, you've been exposed. But anyways, we always talk about how, you know, the positive response, people giving thumbs up and honking and waving and smiling. And Brother Thomas always says, you know, people, they love to see it, but if they were to stop and actually talk to us and find out the real Jesus of the Bible, they'd walk away hating us, most of them. You know, they'd either get saved and repent and believe the gospel, or they'll walk away hating you, you know, because people, they don't really love the God of the Bible. But He means the world to us, amen, because He saved us, loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood, amen. Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, and probably over the course of the next few services anyways. We're going to be looking throughout this chapter in Ephesians 1 at some things that are involved in salvation. And what God wrote through the Apostle Paul in this chapter, he really goes into detail here in concerning things, specific things that are involved in salvation. And so, I believe it'll be a blessing, be a help to us. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, remember, of course, kind of laying some groundwork, giving some introduction to this book or the book of Ephesians. Galatians, we just preached through, just went through Galatians. And throughout Galatians, you see really God is dealing with and kind of nailing down for us really what salvation really is. It's not by works of the law. And so it's not by keeping law. If you could do good enough to be saved, then Jesus died in vain. And so it's faith in Christ and the finished work of Christ. Salvation's by grace through faith, like he talks about in Ephesians 2 here. And that's what Galatians is all about. Separating, you know, it's not law mingled with grace. It's grace and it's faith in Christ that saves us. And so, and of course it's dealing with freedom from the law. So if Galatians is dealing with freedom from the law, Ephesians is more dealing with our riches in salvation, the riches and the wealth that we receive when we get saved. And so Galatians kind of lays down exactly what salvation is, true Holy Ghost salvation is. Ephesians deal with what's received in salvation, what we really get. And so, let's look here in chapter 1. If you found your place there in chapter 1, we'll stand and read a few verses one more time. Stretch your legs and get ready. And I'm going to try to rely heavily on my notes this morning and tonight, because otherwise I won't finish in the 2 hours we've got. Y'all missed that. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Look in verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, it's interesting. He uses that that term, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, over and over and over again throughout this, even just this chapter. It's always in Christ. Look in verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day and the assembly and being able to be here. Thank You for Your Word, for giving us a copy of it, preserving it for us. And Lord, I thank You that it's completely inerrant, it's infallible. And Lord, I thank You that we've got every word, Lord of God, before us this morning. We can read it and study it. And now we have the opportunity to preach it, hear it preached. And I pray that You would take this word, that You would make it alive to us. I pray that You would give us spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear this morning, and that You would help us to receive with meekness and gladness the Word of God this morning, and that You would draw us close to Yourself, and Lord, teach us more about Yourself, and Lord, encourage us, uplift us. Lord, I pray that You would just do that work in our hearts that only You can do. And Lord, I pray for that one here that might be lost, that You'd show them their lost condition. Lord, I pray that You'd make hell and eternity very real to them. I pray that You would remove any distraction. Lord, that we'd not just hear the preacher this morning, but Lord, we'd hear the gospel. And Lord, I pray that You'd save that poor old lost sinner before it's too late. I pray that You'd have Your perfect will and way in our service among us this morning. You'd be glorified. And in Christ's name we pray it all. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So you see here in these verses, as we go through here, we see really just kind of one thing right after the other dealing with salvation. It's pretty clear He's talking about salvation. He's talking about what we've received in salvation. And so really the verse that we're looking at this morning is that first one, verse 3, where He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so, when we received Christ, we were blessed with spiritual blessings. Amen? But if you continue on, verse 4, He talks about how He hath chosen us. Well, that's a blessing. And then verse 5, He's predestinated us. And then, I mean, just on and on and on we go. We see one blessing right after, and He really goes into great detail, and it really gets specific, enlarging and magnifying the blessings of salvation. And so that's what we're going to look at kind of throughout the next few services, new messages, on things involved in salvation, the things that we receive when we get saved. And so He starts out, first of all, in verse 3, right after the greeting, you know, he gives the greeting there, verse 1 and 2. And then, right off the bat, verse 3 starts right off with thanksgiving and praise unto God. And that's always a good way to start off anything. I mean, whether it's a church service, whether it's our day, whether it's, I mean, whatever it is, it's a good way to always start with thanksgiving and praise. Listen, if it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't even be here this morning.
I mean, if it wasn't for His blessings to us, I mean, even if somebody's here lost this morning, it's still God's blessings and favor in your life that you would be here. It's all of our we're all blessed that we're not in hell this morning, you know. We're all blessed that we're not laid up in a hospital, eat up with this virus, or eat up with cancer, under some bridge, strung out on drugs, messed up on dope. I mean, it's God's blessings and mercy and grace in our life that we're here this morning. And so He starts right off the bat with praise and thanksgiving. And that's always a great way to start. That's why we start off the day with prayer. When we come to church Sunday morning, we start off with prayer. Altar prayer, where we're in the altar, we're praying because we're wanting to prepare our hearts, and we're before the Lord thanking Him for letting us come and thanking Him for all the things that we'll receive and be exposed to today, and getting all the worldliness and all the carnality out of our life and preparing our hearts to worship Him because He's been so good to us. Amen? And so thanksgiving and praise is a mighty good way to start. Amen. And that's how this epistle starts out. And what it does is it enlarges the great and precious benefits that we enjoy by Jesus Christ. So again, he uses that term, in Christ. All the things that we enjoy, all the things that accompany salvation, when you and me got saved, or if you get saved, all the things that accompany that, that come with that, that come along with that and fills your life, it's all done in Christ. It's because of Christ, and it is in Christ. And this praise, this thanksgiving, magnifies those great and precious benefits that we enjoy in Him. So it's like taking a magnifying glass and magnifying. Whenever we talk about magnifying Christ, here's the thing. We could not make Jesus and what He has done and all that's been wrought in, we could not make that any bigger. We couldn't make it any bigger, but we can magnify it. I mean, whenever you take a magnifying glass and you magnify something, you're not actually making that thing bigger. You're just enlarging it. You're enlarging the image of it, right? And that's why the Bible talks about things like adorning the doctrines of God. That is, dressing them up, magnifying them, making them look appealing. Amen? Brother Ernest was talking earlier about, Brother Miller Mitchell was talking about if we get excited about our salvation, it'll cause other people to get excited. And you know, I think about that a lot. I think, you know, why in the world would the world, we talk about people not ever getting saved and why folks are lost, why they don't want God. Why would they want God when they look at a lot of Christians' lives today? People drag around, come dragging in 10, 15 minutes late for church and won't be faithful and won't be sold out to God, and they drag around with a frown on their face like they're so miserable serving God. Why would anybody want that? I mean, they look out the world and folks are at the Super Bowl having the time of their life, and they're at the concerts having the time of their life, and they're enjoying all the pleasures of sin for a season. They look like they're having a great time, man. And God's people, we sit back like, well, man, why aren't people getting saved? And we're going through the trials of Job all the time in our lives. You know, why would the world want what we've got? You know, we need to adorn the doctrines of God. We need to let the world see that we enjoy the blessings of being saved, that there are blessings and there are privileges that come to being saved. Amen. You know, whenever we get out the four walls of this church and we're handing out tracts and we're sharing the love of God with the world out there, and we've got a smile on our face and they see us enjoying serving God, that does something in their heart. Amen. Whenever we're out on the street corner holding up signs, they see that, and they see people enjoying serving God. Amen. They see people loving. And by the way, that's what our life is all about whenever we get saved. We're not of this world anymore. We're not fixed for this world anymore. If we can still enjoy the things of this world, there's something bad wrong with us spiritually. Amen. I tell you, the world needs to see a group of people that are filled with the Spirit of God and sold out for the glory of God, and they enjoy the things of God, and they're not fixed in this world anymore. They've got a home beyond the stars, a home beyond something else that we're living for. Amen. The world needs to see that in us. Amen. Praise God. I need to see folks that aren't dragging around, miserable, serving God. You know, they say, I've heard this, and I believe it's true. I've heard, and I don't know if it's still true now, but at one time, Islam was one of, if not the fastest growing religions in the world. Now, you're talking about a religion that's cutting people's heads off and flying planes into buildings and abusing women and abusing little boys and all that stuff. Isn't it amazing all the feminists are over here in America where women got more rights than anywhere in the world, but yet they're over here fighting for women's rights? If they were really concerned about women's rights and the rights of people, they'd be over in the Middle East fighting over there. Amen. If you want to see abused people, go to the Middle East where Islam took over. Amen. But they say that at one time, at least, Islam was the fastest growing religion in the world, even in America. One of the fastest growing religions in America. You know what the people that had converted to it, what the majority of them said? They said one of the reasons they converted to Islam was because of the high level of commitment that it requires. People are losing their minds. They're crazy. Like, oh man, the government's saying that church isn't essential anymore. Should that shock us? I don't even think of what goes on in most churches is essential. People are losing their minds thinking like that suddenly out of nowhere the world and society and all the politicians think that what's going on in churches is a bunch of foolishness. I even think what goes on in most churches today is foolishness. Amen. It shouldn't shock anybody else, right? Why? Because there's no commitment. There's no difference in what's going on in most churches and in the rest of the world. So sure, it's non-essential. Sure, it's foolishness in the eyes of the world because there's no difference. There's no commitment. The average church doesn't call people. The average preacher in America doesn't call men and women to sell out and serve God with a whole heart. The average, church, the average Bible that's being preached in the average pulpit in America isn't calling people to repent of their sins and turn from the world and cut all their ties and cut all their strings to the world and sell out and serve God with a whole heart. The average church and Bible and preacher in America isn't asking people to come out from the world and be separate and be different and be a peculiar people. We're not seeing that in the average church. There's no difference in the rest of the world and the average church in America. And so there's no commitment. And so people just come as they are and come and go as they please. And you know, it's just kind of, I'll go to church if I feel like it. If I don't, that'll be fine. They'll be glad to see me when I get back anyways. They're only interested in my tithes and my money anyways, right? You know, and so we just kind of come and go and, you know, kind of scratch that spiritual itch from time to time, and if I'm there, great, and if I'm not, that's fine too. And so, really, it's just a bunch of foolishness. It really is just a social club. Amen? But the people that are converting to Islam, they see the high level of commitment. Because you know what it is? People want to be sold out to something. They want to have something to live for. They want to. That's it. That is built within man. That religious aspect of man. That man wants a God to serve, something to be sold out to, something to be passionate about. Amen. Man wants an idol. Man wants a God. Man wants something to be committed to. And that's why you know people are sold out to sports and entertainment. I was like, that is their God, man. They say, you know, these little boys and stuff and these kids come up playing sports and they'll say things like, baseball is life. I've seen posters that say that, you know. Baseball is life. Football is life. I sure hope that's not what you're living your life for. I sure hope you not sell out your everlasting soul for something so cheap as a game. Amen. But that's that religious itch. And man's got to have something to live for, you know. And they look at Islam, they say, man, that's commitment. Them people believe what they're doing. They believe it enough to kill themselves for the sake of, you know, what they think they're going to get in eternity, you know. And you know, most Christians today, they think, oh yeah, I'd die for the cause of Christ, but they won't even live for Him. Won't live for Him, but think they'd die for Him. Won't even be faithful to church, but they think that when it comes down to it, they'd be willing to die for Him. Yeah, right, man. That's a joke. Amen. And so the world needs to see that in us. The world needs to see a group of Christians, a group of God's people that are sold out and serving God and enjoy what we're doing and we're willing to give up everything for the cause of Christ. Amen. Amen. So it begins, let me get back to the message now. He begins with praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Praising God for all that's been wrought in Christ and all that comes with salvation, and He magnifies Christ. That's what it does whenever we're out in public doing public ministry. It magnifies Christ. Because the world does not care what we're doing in here. They could not care as long as we keep it in here. Right? They could not care less. But when we get out there, what we do is we put a magnifying glass on Jesus. And it magnifies Him and puts Him before them. And then they have to consider, what am I going to do with Jesus now? It draws a line in the sand. Either they have to accept or reject. And it leaves nobody in any gray area. Just like I was saying, those people that look the other way, you know, you can look the other way, but you can't unsee it. They're making their choice right then. Now, in their mind, they're justifying and saying, well, I don't see it. Oh, but they do see it. And so nobody's in the neutral ground. Whenever we get out, we magnify Jesus, and it puts everyone either in a, and it makes it black and white. You either for Him or you're against Him. Right? And so that's what we're doing. We're magnifying Him. And that's what it does when we praise Him, when we thank Him, when we offer thanks. We're magnifying Christ. And that's what He's doing here. He's magnifying the blessings of salvation. Amen. Now, salvation includes several different things. Several things are involved in salvation throughout this chapter. But we're going to look at the first one in verse number 3. And the first thing I see that's involved in salvation is favor. There is favor involved in salvation. Verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." So the greatest blessing or favor that we could ever receive is salvation. It's salvation. Who cares if we can cast out devils? Who cares if we can heal the sick? Who cares if we can raise the dead if we die lost without God and go to hell? You realize Judas could do all those things. Judas Iscariot, he could raise the dead, he could heal the sick, he could cast out devils, he could preach real good, he could testify, he could sing, he could do all the things, you know, spiritually, as far as the outside looking in, spiritually, that all the rest of the disciples and apostles could do. But he died and went to hell. Amen? And so what's it matter how gifted we are? What's it matter all the things we can do if we're not saved by the grace of God? That is the single greatest blessing that we could ever receive, is being saved. See, the disciples at one time, they ran, man, they were hooting and hollering and jumping and shouting. They were so excited over the fact that the devils were subject to their name. And Jesus said, "Don't. What are you praising? What are you excited over that for?" Yeah, there's nothing to be excited about. He said, "Rejoice because your name is written in glory." And salvation involves favor. See, it's the single greatest blessing we could ever receive because it shows the favor of God towards us. Amen? Heaven's blessings are turned earthly now towards us. They are pointed at us. The blessings of God, the crosshairs of His blessings, are pointed at your heart right now. Amen. It reveals His favor to us. And salvation involves favor. In verse 3, first of all, we see again praise for the favor. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It made me think of that, of the psalmist in Psalm 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Amen. "Bless His holy name." Amen. And so he's praising God. He said, "Blessed is the name of the Savior. Blessed is God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ," because He's the one who's done all of this. Now, I think it's interesting that he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that's kind of, I mean, isn't Jesus Christ, isn't He God? So how is it that we're blessing the God of God, you know? I mean, you know, isn't He God? Well, He is God. And it's not, He was and He is now still. I mean, He's still God, you know. And before the foundation of the world were laid, He was God, you know. So He's God. So how is He blessing the God? Well, I'll tell you how. Because as mediator, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, the Bible says. And so as our mediator, the Father is His God. He's mediating between you and God this morning. If you didn't have Jesus to mediate this thing, you'd have no access to God. You'd be off on your own. You'd have nothing. Just like we preached a few weeks ago on the simplicity of salvation. Salvation is not about getting man into heaven. It's about getting God out of heaven back into man. And Jesus is mediating that thing. He's the one between us. He's the one getting the job done. And God couldn't get into you, and you had no access to God if He wasn't the mediator. So as mediator, He's His God. But then also as God, so Jesus as mediator, the Father's His God. But Jesus as God and the second person in the Trinity, God is His Father. He's the only begotten Son of God. Amen? So you say, well, is he God or is He not? He's God. So is the Father His God or is He not? He is His God. So is He the Father's Son or is He not? He is His Son. He's all of them. Amen? He's the all in all. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. He's all of it. Amen? He's Jesus. He's God. He's the Son. He's the Lamb. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the great I Am. He's all of it. Amen? Praise God. And so He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the one who all these blessings come from. You realize we've done none of this on our own. Amen? Thinking about Him being, as mediator, God, the Father being Jesus is God. He cried out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he cried out to Him, called Him God. He also, on the same time, on the cross, when they were casting lots for His raiment, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So and on the cross, He cried out to Him as God, cried out to Him as Father. He's both, amen? And all blessings come from God as the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the blessing the favor we receive in that is that once we are united with Christ, He becomes our God and our Father too. Whenever I pray, I call out to the Father. That's right. I talk to the Lord. I talk to the Father. Whenever Gideon, we were over there praying this morning for church, and Gideon gets down there and he kneels next to me, and I ask him, I say, you going to pray with me? He says, yeah. I said, all right, well, just talk to God like you would talk to me. That's what I told him. Just talk to God like you talk to me, because He is a Father. And we can talk to Him just like we'd talk to our Father. Once we are united with Christ, once we are in Christ, He becomes our Father too. And so no good can be expected from a righteous, holy God outside of being in Christ. The fact, Brother Ernest talked about that the cross this morning. We sung those songs about the cross this morning. That shows God's favor to man. That shows how much God wanted to fellowship with man. In what He did in Christ. And once we put our faith in Christ and we get in Christ, then we can receive the blessings of God. Because God's so holy, He's so righteous, there's no way we could receive blessings from Him otherwise. Amen? As wicked as we are. I know I've said this before, but you got these wicked atheists, these wicked God-haters all over the world that say, if God's so good, why does He let all these bad things happen? Well, they got the question wrong. The problem is not with the answer to the question. The problem is with their question. The question is not, if God's so good, why does He let bad things happen? The question is, if we're so wicked and ungodly and so sinful and disobedient, why would He show us any favor at all? Amen? Because He loves us. There is favor involved in salvation. God has favored you if you're saved this morning. Amen? And so there's no praise in our efforts. All praise goes to God for His efforts. I think sometimes whenever I hear these people give these real long, eloquent testimonies when they got saved. I thank God for a good testimony of salvation, don't you? I like to hear when God, Paul gave his testimony many times. And I think what would help the lost world, a lot of times you say, well, I don't know what to tell people. I don't know how to witness. Just tell them what God did for you, man. Just tell them how He changed your life, That's what Paul did. He testified 3 times in the book of Acts, started at the same place every time, on the road to Damascus, where he got saved. And God shined the light on him. That's right. It wasn't different every day. He didn't add to it or take away from it. It wasn't a different story depending on the crowd he was talking to. He just started on the road to Damascus where God shined the light in and God started working his heart and changed his life. That's what Paul told people. And by the way, whether he was talking to lowly nobodies or whether he was standing before kings, the story was always the same. I was on the road to Damascus and a light flashed on me and Jesus changed my life. Amen. And so if you don't know what to tell folks, just tell them what Jesus did for you. Amen. And so I hear these people though sometimes give these long, eloquent testimonies. And they go into go into great detail into all the sin and wickedness they were in, all that stuff, And they talk about, the night they got saved, how they ran down there and they slid into the altar like a baseball player sliding into home plate and all this stuff. And they go into all these details. And sometimes I wonder, like, who are we glorifying here? Are we glorifying you and what you did and all the things you went through, or are we glorifying the Savior, glorifying the fact that your life was changed by the grace of God, or glorifying all your sin and the depths of sin that you're in? Which are we glorifying here, Because all praise goes to God. And I think that's caused us some problems too, because, some of these young Christians, they get saved and then they hear, somebody go into all these real, crazy details and make their salvation like it was just some big, huge event, And it makes them start questioning, did I really get saved? Because that didn't all happen to me, I don't think everybody that does that means to do it. I think as we go, the more we learn about salvation, the bigger of an event it becomes in our mind. It becomes in our heart. I'm just saying, sometimes I do wonder, though, who are we really glorifying here, The glory goes to God because He started it. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's everything when it comes to being saved. Amen. And so blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see praise in the favor within. We see purpose of the favor. The purpose of the favor. God didn't save us. Talking about the things involved in salvation. God does not save people to make them healthy, wealthy, and wise. You realize that? God doesn't save people to make them happy and to give them everything they want. He's not the big Santa Claus in the sky. He's not the man upstairs. He's not, He's not all that. This book isn't the old good book, You hear people call it, the good book says this and the good book says that. And the man upstairs does this and the man upstairs does that, and all that stuff. Listen, that is not even close to what God is. They're not within a million miles of God when they're talking like that. Amen? So we see here, though, the real purpose of salvation. Talking about the things involved. He doesn't save us for the purpose of us being happy. He saves us for the purpose of making us holy. Not happy, but holy. Amen? Now, there in this verse, he said, "He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." So we see a twofold purpose here in this verse that salvation brings in the life of somebody who gets saved. First of all, spiritual. There's a spiritual purpose. Not a financial purpose. And not an emotional purpose. And not, not all these, not an entertainment purpose and not a fleshly purpose. A spiritual purpose. Amen? A spiritual purpose. He said spiritual blessings. It's not material. It's not physical. See, folks, they'll line up for miles to get material blessings. I mean, people that really, they're not even interested in spiritual things. But if you tell them good things will happen to you if you get saved, they'll line up to get saved. Great things will happen and you'll have a good life and all that stuff. Oh yeah, they want it then, but they're not interested in the material. They're not interested in the spiritual. They're interested in the material things. Right? If salvation guarantees somebody heaven, but then there's no sacrifice in this life either. Why wouldn't you want that? Who wouldn't want that, I mean, I can keep on going my own way and doing what I want to do, and then I just get a free ticket to heaven. Well, yeah, man, who wouldn't line up with that? Where the hang-up is with people? It's when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It's receiving not just Jesus, the baby in the manger, but receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Deny thyself and follow me. That's the hang up. But see, you know, if you can, if it's all material purpose, if salvation is all about physical and material and financial, if that's the purpose in it, then man, folks will line up for that. But God did not save us with those things in mind. He saved us with a spiritual purpose in mind. Spiritual blessing. You say, well, so what are the blessings then? You know, if He hasn't promised me all these great blessings here in this life, you know, what are the blessings? Well, I think we can find the blessings just maybe a page or two back in Galatians chapter 5. Just preached on this not too long ago. Galatians chapter 5 and Luke in verse number 22, because you say, what things are spiritual? What are the spiritual blessings? The spiritual blessings are things that are produced by the Spirit. There's a lot of confusion today on what's spiritual and what's not spiritual. Like, what's really spiritual? People think that something that's spiritual is, you know, when something weird happens. Something happens that makes your hair on the back of your neck stand up. That's spiritual, you know. Or like whenever somebody walks up to me and says, God told me to do this. God told me. You know what's happening most of the time, even in independent Baptist churches, you know what's happening when somebody says, God told me to do this? They're trying to make you believe they're more spiritual than what they are. That's what they are. Because God's already told all of us what to do. Amen. Amen. He's already told. And so when somebody says, but that's what people think is spiritual. God told me to do this, you know, or you know, man, that I just got this feeling, you know, and it made the hair on my arm stand up and I got goosebumps all over me. And man, it was so spiritual, you know. So much confusion on what's spiritual. I'll tell you what's spiritual. The things that are spiritual are the things that are produced by the Spirit. And when I say the Spirit, I mean the Spirit of God. That's it. And look in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit, okay, the fruit. What's fruit? Things that are produced, right? The things produced by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Notice that S on Spirit is a capital S. That is the Holy Spirit. The third person in the Godhead. These are the things that God produces. The Spirit of God produces. If you want to know what's spiritual, it's right here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He didn't say a good career. He didn't say a nice house to live in. He didn't say a nice car to drive. He didn't say, you know, a good relationship with all your family. And all that. He didn't say all that. He gave specific things that are produced by the Spirit. And those are the things that are produced in the life of a child of God when they get born again. Spiritual blessings. It's a spiritual purpose. But you know, the thing is, these things that are produced, these spiritual blessings, are really what the world longs for the most. Now they think, here's the thing, they think they can find these things in the careers, and in the money, and in the friends, and in the relationships, and in the nice cars, and the good job. They think they can find this stuff, but here's the thing, it's a dead-end road every time. They think, how many little boys and little girls out there this morning are just wishing somebody would love them? How many women out there this morning, basically sell their body for love and jumping from one relationship to the next, hoping that they'll find love in one of these relationships, and they're not finding it? Because you don't find love in those things. I mean, how many people, that's really what people out in the world, they have that longing in their heart to be loved. That's why they jump from one relationship to the next. That's why they're always looking for somebody to love them, because they want to be loved. They want love. But you don't find real love without the Savior. Amen? That's one of the fruit of the Spirit, is love. And then, what? Love and then joy. Peace. And how many people are really looking for peace this morning? They really want peace. Again, that's why they jump from alcohol, drugs, you know, anything you can imagine. They're looking for peace in their life. Wanting peace. Thinking that money will bring them peace. If I can just get financially stable enough, that'll bring me peace in my life. It just never happens, man. It never brings it. That's right. Once they get that, it'll be something else. Nothing can produce these things except Christ in our life. Being saved. These are the things that are involved in salvation and nothing else. It is a spiritual purpose. But praise God, man, whenever we do get saved, There's nothing that fills your soul and fills that void in your life like Jesus. Hey, the things that I didn't even know all these things would accompany salvation when I got saved. All I knew was that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior and I got saved. Then found out that love and joy and peace and all those things came into my life after that. Amen? And so thank God for the spiritual purpose in our life. Because here's the thing. The spiritual things that He brings about our life, the spiritual blessings, they'll be there when everything else is gone. When the world, the flesh, and the devil takes everything else, when all this stuff burns up, which it will one day, all these spiritual blessings will still be there. Amen? Spiritual purpose. And then, a celestial purpose. He said spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This speaks of eternity. Speaks of eternity and heaven. Things that come from heaven and prepare us for heaven. Talking about the blessing. He said spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So these are the things that come from heaven and prepare us for heaven. That's what Jesus did. He fixed us for heaven. And there's that progressive work in our soul making us more like Him, getting us more ready for heaven. Amen? And what makes me wonder about people's salvation who never go to church and don't want to go to church here, but think they want to go to heaven when they die. That's all heaven's going to be, is church, pretty much. I mean, that's what we're doing here. We're praising the Lord and we're singing praises to Him. Well, you go over into Revelation and read about what they're doing in heaven. They're doing in heaven on a much, much bigger scale what we're doing right here in church on a smaller scale. Amen. That's it. And so the blessings are things that come from heaven and fix us and help prepare us for heaven. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Our blessings are not here. They're not temporal things. As far as we're concerned, we're chalking this life up to a net loss. You ought to be. You better be. Yeah, just chalk. That's what they do sometimes in business. You know, they just chalk something up to a loss. Like, you know, let's just chalk it up. That's what we're doing with this life. We should be presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So just chalk it up, man. Net loss. I'm gonna sell out and serve God. And if I don't have anything else, that's fine. Because everything I'm getting is coming in the hereafter. Amen. That ought to be our vision. That ought to be our focus. That ought to be how we think and how we feel and the way we see the world. It's, man, I'm just chalking this life up. It's a loss. And everything I've got, I'm investing over there. Amen? Amen. Because the greatest blessing that we have, it'll actually be realized in heaven in eternity. It's going to be a great day whenever we're able to put off this flesh. And not have to battle this flesh anymore. Thursday night or Friday night, the Bible study, we were talking about that. We're talking about how to have victory in the Christian life. Talking about the three enemies of God's people, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And how no matter how spiritual we get here, we will never get over this flesh, buddy. Never. We'll never get total victory over the flesh. It'll constantly be there tempting us and drawing us and nagging us. But buddy, it's going to be a good day whenever we get over into glory, get glorified bodies, and get to put off this flesh. Because, you know, Paul said that he found in him a law that when he does good, evil was present with him. Well, I can say the same thing, man. How many times you've been in a good spiritual service? I mean a good one where folks are worshiping and God's moving and the message is great and I mean everything's just really good and everything is so spiritual, and yet in your mind something will cross your mind that is very, very unspiritual. Oh, you're doing a good thing. You're praising the Lord. You may be saying amen and raising your hand and shouting, and you may be singing, or you may be out serving God. You may be out on the street corner holding a scripture sign, and something will come in your head that is very unspiritual and very wicked. So no matter how much good you're doing, evil's always present with you. But buddy, one of these days, we're going to get over into glory, and that evil will not be present with us anymore. We can serve God, and we can worship God, and we can do all those things, and that evil will not be present anymore. There won't be that draw back to the flesh and the Adamic man anymore. Amen. Praise God. And so that's the greatest blessing that will be realized in heaven. With all these blessings, we can't possibly be miserable. Yet without these blessings, we can't help but be miserable. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But when our affections sit on things above, buddy, you can't help but be excited and stirred up over the things of God. Philippians 1:23, same Paul said that he was in a strait betwixt two. He had a desire to go and to depart and be with Christ, which was far better, but it's better for them that he stay. In other words, his heart was set in heaven, man. He's ready to go. Now everybody's scared to death they're going to die because of coronavirus. You know? The early church and Christians going by, they were ready to go. They said, man, it's better for me to go. And if God wills me to go, I'm going to go. But now everybody now is like, oh, I don't want to die of the coronavirus. Let's all stay home and wear masks and walk around in hazmat suits. You know, I'm not coming out of my house until they've got a vaccine for death. You know, so they can vaccinate people and nobody dies anymore. That's when I'll come out, you know. But hey, listen, when our affection's on things above, and by the way, nothing's going to stop you from dying. But when your affection's set on things above, boy, you look forward to that day that you get there. Amen. And so we see the purpose and the favor. And last of all, we see the person for the favor. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, we're praising God the Father because He's the one who's blessed us with all these things. But it's the fact that we're blessed with all these things, it's all done in Christ. Now, what most folk are seeking in this day, in this life, they're seeking to gain all the blessings that come in Christ. They're seeking them through other means other than Christ. Yeah, everybody wants... They may have all the things the world has to offer, but at the end of the day, what they really want is love. And what they really want is joy. And what they really want is peace. They think those things will bring that in their life. But they won't. See, what they're doing is they're seeking those blessings. They're seeking the spiritual blessings in carnal means. They want love. They want joy. They want peace. They want long-suffering. They want kindness. They want tenderness. They want all those things in their life. They want to be what God makes us. But they're looking in other things. Looking in things and in people other than Christ. And in fact, even though the world is searching for those spiritual blessings, they can find it in Christ, but for whatever reason, they're actually very hostile towards Christ. The gospel is an offense. The fact that you tell somebody, well, you know, Christ is the one who will fulfill you and He's the one that will bring about all these blessings in life, but they're very hostile towards Christ. The world hates Christ. They want to go their own way. They want to find all these blessings their own way. They want to do it their way. And so they hate Christ. They want all the blessings of Christ without it. Yet without being in Christ, there will be no salvation, no blessings, no favor. The lost person is the enemy of God until they get in Christ. And so I say praise God for what all that's been wrought in Christ. You say, well, what's the blessing? What's the message? And the message this morning is that we need to be praising God for His favor. If we want the world, if we expect the world to be excited over the things of God, we need to get excited over the things of God. We need to praise God for His favor. Favor accompanies salvation. And then realize the purpose of salvation. God has not fixed us for this world. This world should be a net loss in our eyes. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having nice things and having good things, but when that's what we live for, we have missed it. That's not the real purpose of salvation. The real purpose is to make us holy and to make us more like Jesus in this life, and then magnify the person of salvation. Again, whenever we're outside the four walls of this church, handing out tracts, knocking doors, holding scripture signs, all those things, what we're trying to do is magnify the person of Christ. Magnify the person of salvation, because salvation's not in a plan. Salvation's in a person. It's in that name that's above every name. It's in the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's in the name. And so may God help us to magnify the name. I want to say this morning, if you're lost, you're lost without God, you can find favor with God this morning. You don't have to live in enmity with God. You can find favor, but it's going to be in Christ. If you will repent and believe the gospel this morning, you can have the same favor that all of God's people have when they get saved.
if you'll repent and believe the gospel this morning. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with the message. Pray that you would take it and use it. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, the favor that comes with salvation, Lord. Help us to praise you as we should. Help us, Lord, to realize the purpose of salvation. Be committed to your purposes as we should. And Lord, help us to magnify the name of Christ as we should. Lord, I pray that you would just do a great work in our hearts this morning. Bless us now in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand